Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jinx Monsoon, and welcome to a brand new episode of Hi Jinx with me, Jinx Monsoon. Today's episode is going to be a little different. Today, it's just going to be me. I've had a really, really fantastic, wonderful, affirming, challenging, and busy year, and there's plenty to talk about without anyone else here. Today's episode is just going to be me reflecting on the year that I've had and the wonderful experiences I have learned from. All that and more on a brand new episode of Hi Jinx. So buckle up, hunker down, and sink your teeth into some brand new Hi Jinx.
M.
Oh.
M.
Mom!
Hello, everyone. I'm Jinx Monsoon, and welcome to Hi Jinx, a podcast where I, an internationally tolerated drag superstar, get to interview compelling and fascinating people about how they became who they are and why they do what they do. Today, we are joined by Drag Race two-time winner, Broadway hopeful, and one-time Mama Morton. I don't know if you can hear that water trickling or if it's just me, but today our guest is me. I'm Jinx Monsoon. I am currently on tour with the Jinx and Dayla Holiday Special. So if you are somewhere that we are going to be visiting, if you're in the U.S., in Canada, by the time that this is airing, we'll be leaving the U.K. and bidding adieu to our lovely audiences across the pond and bringing this show back stateside, where it was conceived. This year's show is really, I just really love it. I love every year's show, but this year, Dayla and I really, what's the term? We hid some money in the bear. That's an American Dad reference, my assistant. And I always say, money in the bear. Anyway, I'm so stupid. We're on tour. This show is fantastic. Dayla and I put a lot into this year's show, plot-wise, story-wise, concept, but also, you know, every year, as our audiences grow and the support from our audiences grow, Dayla's ability to put more production value as the head producer, Dayla's ability to do that grows as well. So this year's show, it's cuckoo banana crackers, but it's also just so fun. And all the dancers are so fantastic. They have some really hard work. Dale and I barely move this year. No. It's a really, really, really lovely show. I'm very, very proud of it. And it's the perfect way to end a very busy year. So if you are in the States or in Canada and you want to come see the Jinx and Dale holiday show, check out jinxanddale.com and find out if we're coming to a city near you. If we're not in your city, try to meet us halfway. December, November, these months are finite. We only have so many days in which we can take our show on the road. So if you can see the Jinx and Dale holiday show, this year is not to be missed. Beyond that, let's start at the beginning of the year. I mean, if you've been listening to this podcast all year, a lot of this stuff you already have heard about, but I feel excited to kind of reflect with my hijinks audience right now, because I can remember so clearly the events of the holiday show last year leading into my Broadway debut. It's so clear in my mind that it feels like it does not feel like a year ago. I don't know how you feel, you who are listening to this, does it feel like a year has passed? Because to me, I feel like the reason why it doesn't feel like a year has passed is because I have such clear, vivid memories of sitting in my Airbnb in Brooklyn, recording this podcast with my friend Alok as the sun came in, and it was an early, brisk winter day in Brooklyn in February, and I just remember it like it happened last week, and the fact that a year has passed really kind of blows my mind, but I think that gets truer the more we age. Time starts to speed up, unfortunately. But if I have my way, I will be Cassandra, the oldest living human someday. that's a Doctor Who reference. We'll get there. So this is something I've been talking about in the Jinx and Dale after show question and answer sessions that we do for our VIP audience members. A lot of people have asked me about my time on Broadway, and because, you know, like, that makes sense. I would not shut up about it for years, about how I wanted to be on Broadway. Everyone's known this about me for a long time. And it was really sweet that they played that little moment from my Tic Tac lunch with Rue at the season 15 finale, Sasha's coronation. They played that little clip saying that this is what I wanted to do. And people have asked me what that experience was like. And I'm sure I talked about this while I was performing that show. But in retrospect, I can say that it was a very affirming, validating experience. It was a goal that I set in my mind and that I set for myself at a very young age. And 36 is still, I guess I was 35 when it happened, but it's still a relatively young age to have a life goal met, you know? And the fear of that is that once you have that life goal met, like, what do you do next? Or what if it's not what you dreamed of? And I was very, very fortunate for it to be everything I dreamed of and more. And and I don't worry about what's next, because I'm just hoping it's more of the same. I'm having a really good time. But the profound thing that I really want to talk about right now was I had set this life goal for myself for so long, convincing myself that nothing else would ever compare to what that would feel like as far as validation, affirmation, or just, you know, having an aspiration fulfilled. I really convinced myself that that was the only thing in existence that could make me feel like I had really accomplished that goal. And here's what I want to say to you. Both Lana Gordon and Charlotte d'Amboise were guests on this podcast, and James T. Lane, three different Broadway veterans, Broadway stars, three different Broadway performers expressed to me at different points in our run that the audiences that that came in to see a drag queen play Mama Morton were the most excited, enthusiastic, supportive, vocal, joyous, raucous audiences they had ever experienced on Broadway, or at least running that show in the last, you know, decade that they had been working in that show, you know. And that felt so special to hear. And it also made me think and reflect on the fact that for years, the Jinx and Dale Holiday Show, as a wonderful example, many other shows that I've gotten to do as a drag performer for the queer community, but the Jinx and Dale Holiday Show is an annual show that is an example of this. But queer audiences are just amazing. And we really bring a lot when we come to support each other because of the sense of community that I believe that we work hard at fostering. And the fact that the queer community is a global community. There are queer people everywhere. So you have community members no matter where you go, if you reach out for them, if you join the community, you know, oh my God, that sounds like a cult. Join us. But you know what I mean? If you are an active member of this community, the community will show up for you. That's been my experience, and I know I've been very privileged in my life, but that's been my experience. Oh my gosh, I'm making those ASMR mouth noises, aren't I? Hold on. Hydrate, kids. Sorry for all the background noise. I'm in my dressing room in Liverpool. Anyway. So what I realized and what I was getting at before I trailed off is that, excuse my throat making noises, excuse the truck backing up forever. What I realized was I was on Broadway and I was having a life goal fulfilled. And an aspect of that was the audiences. And I realized that those audiences had been showing up for me all along. I realized that I had a show that connected me with my audiences just as effectively as Chicago on Broadway, you know. I realized that this thing that I had set as a life goal, it provided me a lot of wonderful life experience, a lot of valuable lessons. It provided me so much affirmation and validation. And because two things can be true, and I learned that I already had something like that. Not just my show with Dayla, but my work with Major Scales, my work with my collaborators, anything that I've been, you know, providing the community and the community has been providing back to me, that also gives me the same feelings that performing on Broadway gave me, if that makes sense. They're different, but they make me feel the same way, which means sometimes we set a life goal or an aspiration, and it takes having that goal met to realize we've always had it. And I hate to sound cliche by saying that, but, you know, it's kind of like the end of The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy says, what does she say? If I'm ever looking for home, I know not to look farther than my own backyard, or something like that. It ends with, I know not to look farther than my own backyard. That's the sentiment, and that's what I am trying to express here. Like, absolutely, go for your goals. Go for your aspirations. Don't give up on your dreams. Follow them. Pursue them with tenacity. Pursue them with cleverness and wit and passion and tenacity. Adapt, evolve, grow. Pursue those aspirations. And then maybe you'll find that aspects of those goals that you set for yourself have already been met in your life. And they were met by working towards those goals. I would say that, you know, the Jinx and Dela Holiday Show, being an annual thing that I can, you know, bank on, I can count on this feeling of community every year. It's a lot of hard work. It's a difficult tour to pull off every year, just in its nature. But every year, Dela and I, with the help of Bendela Creme Presents, Dela's team, with the help of Major Scales, with the help of Kenny, with my team, we pull it off every year. And turns out, it might already have been my greatest accomplishment. And at least for, you know, at this point in my life. So I had set the goal of Broadway thinking that would be my greatest accomplishment. And once I accomplished it, I realized I think I already had a greatest accomplishment. That was long-winded and possibly too convoluted to be effective, but it was a realization that I had a while ago and that has been coming back to me as we've been on tour once more. So I wanted to share that with you.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all time?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
After Chicago, shortly after that, I flew to Cardiff, Wales to film Doctor Who. Now, I can talk about this a little bit more now that we're not on strike. Now that both the writer's strike and the actor's strike has ended, I don't want to, I don't want to go back in time, and I don't want to undervalue the meaning of the strike by just saying, now that it's over, here's everything that I couldn't talk about. But there is a little bit of that. You know, there are a lot of things I wanted to celebrate and share with you during the strike, but obviously couldn't. But I do need to talk about my experience with Doctor Who. Of course, I can't give you any spoilers. I can't talk about the episode, but I can talk about the experience. And the experience was truly lovely. And again, thanks to community, not just the queer community, but when people come together with similar, I was just talking about goals and aspirations, but when people come together with similar goals and aspirations, amazing work can be accomplished. I think Doctor Who is a testament to that. It stood the test of time through many generations, through many iterations. And currently, its showrunner, Russell T. Davis. Russell, of course, is a legend in the UK. He's a legend in Wales. He's written so many profound works of film and television, cinema, spectacle. Doctor Who, he's currently the showrunner, and it is going through another new iteration starring Shruti Gatwa as Doctor Who, as the Doctor, excuse me. And Millie Hobson as the companion. And I get to play a nemesis to the Doctor in the upcoming season, which is, if you follow Doctor Who at all, it's going to be the queerest season of Doctor Who, series of Doctor Who, if you're in the UK. It's going to just be the queerest Doctor Who you've ever seen. And this is, I think, about time, because the people creating some of your favorite fantasy, sci-fi, horror, these cult niche genres that have ravenous fan bases, they have always been with queer people at the helm. If this is news to you, sorry to break it to you. I think we are, it's another coming out of Hollywood, essentially, where a lot of writers and creators are making it well known that they are queer, and they've always been queer, and the series and franchises that you have always loved have always had queer sensibility in its backbone. Chucky is an example of this. Doctor Who is a long-standing example of this. And this new season of Doctor Who is going to be a testament to that. Now, the experience of being on set, TV is a whirlwind. Every day, you're starting as early as possible, you're going as long as possible, and you just have to be ready to sit around all day waiting to do an hour's worth of work, and then that hour's worth of work is going to be extremely intense. That's not every day, you know. That's just an example of how TV is kind of, it's an acquired skill, let's say. Waiting around all day can be just as energy sapping. But it's worth it when you get the perfect shot, when you get the perfect moment, when everything coalesces and clicks into place and everyone feels really satisfied. Doctor Who, the crew, just treated me like family. And when you have a long-running institution like Doctor Who, they do become a family. And it was so lovely to go from Chicago to Doctor Who, both long-standing institutions. Chicago's been running for 25 years on Broadway. That's huge. It is now, with Phantom of the Opera closing, it is now the longest-running Broadway musical still running since its revival in the early 90s. And Doctor Who, as I said, many, many iterations. So you get to come into, as a guest, you come into an environment that is like a family. And it's not always easy to feel like a member of a pre-existing family when you're coming in, you know, out of the blue, out of nowhere. But what I can say about both of these institutions welcomed me in as a member of the family just immediately. And I did my best to honor the process. You know, when you're a guest in someone else's home, of course you have to do what you need to do to take care of yourself. You have to know what you need. But I love surrendering to the process these days. I love turning the part of me that worries off and trusting the people who do this for a living. I learned that in Chicago in the rehearsal process. I mentioned that on this podcast that it was lovely to just trust the people in the room because I knew they've been doing this a lot longer than I have. The same was true for Doctor Who. And that's a freedom, honestly. It's a freedom to kind of say, I'm in good hands, so all I need to do is do my job really well. You don't always get that as a drag performer, as a queer artist, as an independent artist, as an artist in general. You don't always get to trust the teams you're working with. The art industry, while beautiful and mesmerizing and captivating and intoxicating, it's also treacherous. The performance industry is cutthroat at times. So suffice it to say, not every job is a dream job. But when you surrender to the process, when you feel safe and comfortable enough to surrender to the process, to turn off the part of you that has your guard up, to turn off the part of you that's like looking out for the next person trying to screw you, you get to have a lot more fun. I guess what that comes down to is finding those working environments that aren't toxic, which isn't always easy. But when you do find those, when you find those non-toxic working environments, just relish them for everything that they are. Surrender to that process and have as much fun as possible. After Doctor Who, after Chicago, I went on a short but sweet tour down under with my sisters, Trinity the Tuck and Monet Exchange. We went to Australia. We had to postpone our New Zealand stops, but that will be happening in 2024. We spent a few weeks in Australia, and I have to say, you know, I always love going to Australia. I think I talk lots about the hot sexual partners, the abundancy of sexy sex partners in Australia. But there's also just kind of a lovely, just fun-loving atmosphere in Australia, I'll say. But I love touring with my sisters from Drag Race. You know, Dayla and I tour every year together, but a lot of my work is with me in Major Scales. A lot of my work these days is more solo. So it's always lovely to get to tour with girls who you have those life experiences with and those that shared language and that shared the trauma bonding. So I just absolutely adore touring with Trinity and Monet. I would have loved to tour with the whole cast of All Star 7. Trinity and Monet and I, what a funny trio we are. It's hard to compare us to another trio. I can't think of who we would, who to compare us to. We're just too unique to be compared to anyone, but it's a fun time. I think that Trinity and Monet and I, the three of us, have a really easy time checking our egos at the door, which isn't easy for drag queens always. When we were on tour, it was the three of us just being three drag queens. You know, the events of Drag Race, we know that they happened. We know what our titles are. We've been in competition with each other. None of that comes up when we're on tour together. It's just three drag queens putting on a good show, honestly. Trinity is now such a stoner. That's hilarious to me. Monet kind of did that to Trinity. Trinity is a lovely person, at times can be a little high strung. Stoned Trinity, not as much. And Monet is just a constant. Monet loves to troll me because I'm very gullible. And Monet likes to exploit that fact. So honestly, just one dream job after another, I got to go from Chicago into Doctor Who, into my Down Under tour, and then into the Everything at Stake tour with my band. To those who did not get to see Everything at Stake when we did our U.S. tour, the band, we now have a band. Major Scales and I have been performing, just the two of us, for a long time, and we've compiled a band before in the past, but we've never found, you know, we've never found the money in the bear. Until now. Now we have a lovely band that feels like this is the band we've always been waiting for, which consists of Michael Abbott, who you may know as my legally wedded husband, Michael Abbott on synth and second keyboard, backup vocals. We have Jasmine Guevara on drums, Brad Babinski on bass, Yair Evnin on guitar and cello, and then of course Major Scales on lead piano, and Major and Yair also sing backup vocals. We call the band Major Scales and the Badlings, B-A-D-L-I-N-G-S. A badling, if you do not know, is the term for a group of ducks. So paying homage to the catchphrase that started it all, water off a duck's back. And plus, Badlings just sounds like a great, great band name, right? So Major Scales and the Badlings, that's my band. Don't forget it. Jinx Monsoon, backed by Major Scales and the Badlings. The Badlings. However we announce it, you know. Jinx Monsoon, Major Scales, and the Badlings. I don't know. I just love it. I love saying it. We got a band. We got a band name. This has been a year where a lot of things I have dreamt of for many years have actually happened. Now, for those of you who have been listening from the beginning, I think it's very clear that I used to be just 2-3 years ago when we started this podcast, I was a much more anxious, much more high-strung person. I can't really list all the reasons why I am less anxious and less high-strung these days. I've been very vocal that medication and therapy and psychiatry and addressing mental health issues, addressing my mental health period. That is a huge part of being in a more grounded, more level-minded place. However, another thing I think is that the scarier the world gets, the less the less I want to stress about things that I know. You know those things when people say, don't worry about this, or don't let this get to you, or don't put this in your mind, or don't let sticks and stones may break my bone. All those sayings we're taught, and all those things that we know in our brain, we know in our logic, we know in our sound mind that these things are good for us, or it's advice we should adhere to. But we don't always do it because we convince ourselves that, my situation's different, or that'll never work on me. Well, when the world is a scary place, I think those little sayings, those little reminders of what's really important really start to ring true, you know? The things that are petty, the things that distract you from what's really important in your life, be that community, your family, your interpersonal relationships, your artistry, your passions, your advocacy, your work that you do, whatever it is that gives you the inspiration to face every day. That's what's really important. What your hair's doing that day, what someone said in the comment section, what a drag race judge said about your favorite queen. These things are petty and they fall, they melt away in the stress of the real world. And I think as we see the world going in the direction that people are trying to take it in, you will remember and you will see that the things that are petty start to feel less important when the world's on fire. I don't want to end things on a dour note. I want to end things on a positive note because this has been a very, very positive year for me in terms of growth. And seeing myself the way I want to see myself, representing myself the way I want to represent myself, and being perceived more the way that I want to be perceived. It's been a wonderful year for those things. And as I look at the things happening in our world, and as I look at the things that people are trying to use to divide us, as I look at the hatred and the bigotry that is being put forefront in our societies, in our cultures, to distract us from the ways we can help each other, the ways we can improve the planet, the ways we can hold those responsible, accountable. Hatred and bigotry is a distraction from those things. There are many, many people who are scared of how powerful we are when we start thinking for ourselves. So I encourage you to focus on the love and the joy that you can find right now. Not to blind you from the scary things in the world, not to distract you, but to empower you. Focus on some love and some joy right now, so that you can take that love and joy back out into this dark, scary world with you and wear that love and joy as armor and pay that love and joy forward to other people who might need it right now. I hate to end on a mushy, sappy note, so I'm going to say poo poo pee pee boner booby. And now I'm going to let you all go. This is a slightly shorter episode. I gotta go get ready for tonight's show in Liverpool. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope this episode finds you well. We'll be back next week with either a brand new episode of Hijinks with a brand new guest or a carefully selected replay. I promise that we will get back on schedule in the new year. For now, my schedule is a little bit at the whim and mercy of the tour, but I will do everything I can to keep bringing you brand new hijinks every Wednesday. So, here's the sign off you're used to. Don't worry, I like routine. Here we go. Where's the sign up? Thanks so much for listening to Hijinks here on the Forever Dog and Moguls of Media Network. My name is Jinx Monsoon, and we have new episodes every Wednesday. So make sure to search for Hijinks on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe. You can follow me at The Jinx on Instagram, at Jinx Monsoon Official on TikTok, and at Jinx Monsoon everywhere else. And I'll see you next Wednesday for some more hijinks.
M.
Oh.
M.
Mom!
To listen to Hijinks one day early and ad-free, sign up for Mom Plus at mompodcasts.plus. Hijinks is produced by Moguls of Media, aka Mom, hosted by me, Jinx Monsoon, and produced by Joseph Shepherd. Editing and sound design by Will Pitts, executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Big Dipper, and Joe Cilio.